Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Okay, here we go. Preview show number two. We got six songs to go through. Can't believe we got 37 of these to go through. Are you on?
Sorry, there's a zebra outside.
Focus, man, focus!
And welcome to another striped episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision Song Contest podcast from America, a home of one big signal chat. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny. I don't like that.
I don't think anyone does. A few people do. A few people really do. They do not listen to this show, I think.
Let me tell you, I don't know. We're going to get into things real quick here, but I am actually enjoying how laughable our country is becoming. Really big fan. I kind of needed it.
I was talking to a friend who lives in Washington, D.C. He does not work in politics. He used to, but he doesn't anymore. And we were both of the agreement, like, if this weren't real, it would be the funniest thing anyone has. Like you couldn't write this, you know?
I'm pretty sure there's a Veep episode that might have done something close.
Yeah.
At this point, the Trump presidency is being it's being scripted by Iannucci. Yeah. Anyway, speaking of Signal, Sam, hit him with the socials.
All right. You can
Signal finally, we did it! A check relevant us, segue!
Check us out on Signal. Is that...
No, I don't.
That's not how that works?
We're not... No. No,
I've never actually used Signal. I don't know.
No idea.
Yeah, because anyway, I don't work for the Defense Department. Anyway.
Well, you can find us in the places where more normal people hang out. 12pointsUSA is our handle on just about everything, or just email us directly at 12pointsofamerica@gmail.com. Find our merchandise on Redbubble. You can support us with either a one-off donation on our Ko-fi account, that's Ko-fi, or a sustained monthly donation on our Patreon account. Whether you support us financially or not, we love and appreciate you either way, but Patreon supporters do get exclusive content and early access to episodes. Let's just jump right into it. We've got our second preview episode today, and we are joined by an old friend, well, not old friend, a friend of the show, a friend of ours, a compatriot of the table that we tend to sit on when we're actually on site. It's Dude Poix.
Hello. I think old friend is acceptable.
No.
Yeah. Especially with some of the whippersnappers in this year's competition.
The
19-year-old we'll be talking about today.
Dearie. You know, then again, Derek and I used to work for, on Chris Kostov's delegation, which made us feel ancient when that was a thing. But yes, they just keep getting younger. But it's okay, because we also have one of this year, actually both of this year's oldest participants are going to be coming up in our episode today. So let's just jump right into this. We're going to be talking about Montenegro, Albania, Norway, Poland, Netherlands, and Croatia. For those of you who don't know you, one, welcome to the party. And two, let's just do a little super quick elevator speech. Who the hell are you? And where do we know you from?
So you may know me from my blog, dudepoix.fun, or dudepoints.fun, if you're American. no problem. American like me. I'm also on social media, on the Blue Skies, as dudepoix. That's the elevator speech.
Yeah, and you're going to be basically part of the ESC Insight team also in Basel this year. Is that my correct assumption?
If accreditations come through.
All right, EBU, we'll balls in your court.
Yeah.
I got mine. I don't know what you guys are all.
Well, again, by the time this episode airs, hopefully we'll have updates on that. But either way, we've shared a table multiple times at Eurovision's past.
Yes.
We know that you are a beloved and trusted member of this community, and we just love hanging out with you, frankly. So why don't we jump 2 feet in and talk about our first entry for this episode. Let's chat a little bit about Dobrodošli, the Montenegrin entrant by Nina Zizic. Let's hear a little clip of that. Izdrži sve, proći će, nasmi se, proći će, nasmi se, izdrži sve, nestaće, prestaće, a kada će, dobro došli meni vi na predstavu. All right, that was a little clip of Dobrodošli by Nina Zizic from Montenegro. She is one of this year's returning artists, a featured vocalist back in 2013 with the song Igranka by Husi, criminally underrated, came in 12th place in its semifinal that year, one of my personal favorites of all time. This song, Dobrodošli, which means welcome, technically came second place in its national final this year. However, the song Clickbait by Neonuen eventually withdrew following allegations that had been performed prior to its deadline. And basically, rather than fight it, they just stepped back. And Nina is now a returning artist. I believe this is one of the first songs that was selected and revealed for this year. It's going to be the second song performed in the second semifinal. We now have our running order. Dude, as our welcome and invited guest, we invite you to kick us off. What are your impressions on Dobrodošli?
Dobrodošli is a pleasant song performed competently by a wonderful artist. And that's about it. I really wish that we had, or Montenegro had, let Clickbait remain in the contest and fought for Clickbait to stay in the contest, because we do have a precedent for songs that had been performed prior to the September 1st deadline being allowed in the contest with Riley from Denmark in 2023. Clickbait is a song that was a little bit Marmite, but that's something that people are going to pay attention to in the contest. Nina's song is a Balkan ballad, which is pleasant to listen to, but is not going to make anybody's favorites list. And I think, given that Montenegro is returning to the contest, I'm kind of a little bit disappointed they've decided to do something that's safe and kind of reminiscent of Eurovisions in the past, because it hasn't worked for them as the Balkan ballad since 2015.
Derek, what say you?
Same.
All right, next.
This is our fault. Starting out with a song that's mid.
Yeah, who put this first?
Hey, I asked y'all if this running order was all right, and y'all were like, yeah, this is okay.
Whatever. Yeah, sure, it's fine. No, I agree. I think she sings it really well. I'm a little disappointed there wasn't a little bit more flair or energy to it, especially after her previous performance. You know, I would think she'd come in with something that's a little bit more modern and traditional, or that plays with the genre and the format a little bit. And it's just kind of a very straight down the center Balkan ballad. And Montenegro is just kind of one of those countries that struggles. They just don't really get the respect I think they always deserve. Sometimes they don't, let's be honest. But I think Adio was a rare exception. And I think it did something really interesting while still being kind of traditional. And this one, I think it's kind of stuck in the past. And they're sort of hoping for the best with that, when I think, like we say about just about every country every year, they need to be taking bigger risks or trying something new. What's the worst that could possibly happen? You don't qualify anyway, but hey, maybe you found a new artist or found something different that people respect and respond to. I think this one's just kind of one of those songs that's going to be quickly forgotten as soon as it's over.
Danny?
You know what? Same. We're just going to go right down the line like this. I'm going to be a little bit kinder to her specifically. I think that her performance of this song borders on hypnotic for me. When I'm watching the video, I think that her presence with the camera, her ability to really dig the camera is, it's exceptional. I think it's an extremely easy song to sort of be wrapped up in her performance, but to echo both of your guys' points, once she's not there, the song really doesn't have any reason to stick with you. It's a shame that this is the kind of song that these smaller Balkan countries really, really like, and that this is the sort of thing that satisfies their song traditions, their popular taste the most. Because unfortunately, I don't think that it stretches even to Central Europe, even to close by countries that are sort of out of this area of Europe. I don't think this is a tradition that really sells well. I know it's fantastic. It's exactly what they want to be sending. It's exactly what they want to be listening to. But for Eurovision, I don't think it has a winning chance. But I have to appreciate that this is authentically them, even if that's not a winning strategy.
In the words of Sheldon Riley, my views on this are not the same.
We're not the same?
Whoa. Eric,
do you hate it?
No. I actually quite like it. So here's the thing. We were getting ready for this show, and I was like, oh yeah, Montenegro is back. And I hadn't listened to the song in a while because they selected it 9 months ago. Well, they selected something else, and then they selected this one. and I'd heard it. I hadn't listened to it in a while. I hadn't seen the performance in a good while. just because there's been so much other stuff. There are songs I like more that I've been listening to more, you know, that sort of thing. And I was just, yeah, I she really is an arresting performer, and performs it really, really well. I think that so she's in the death slot. She's number two in that semifinal, which
yeah, it's rotten.
Which is a little bit rough. I think we're spot three in semis might actually still technically be worse. But it's not a good spot to be in, obviously. And it's going to be going right after Milkshake Man. And it's going to be tough. Although I think people who don't like Milkshake Man are going to love this. Like they're going to love it as a change of pace.
Granny is going to like this a bit more.
There isn't a ton like this in the contest this year or in this semifinal. And I think I'm just looking at the list. There are three, maybe four songs that I think this is clearly better than. And it in the semi, and I think this has a shot to make it to Saturday. I really do.
I have to agree with that. It has a shot. It's on the edge.
It's on the edge for sure.
Do you think it's going to be like a Bridges situation with Estonia where they just kind of benefited from being the only kind of song like that?
It's not the only one.
You've got Serbia with a Balkan ballad sung by Prink.
And you've got Greece in there as well. You've got Georgia. Yeah. Some people may also gravitate towards Israel. I mean, in terms of balladry and sort of that mid-tempo big vocal, Nina's not the only one.
Oh, well, I just think this
type of ballady vocal.
I mean, there are different flavors of ballad, but in terms of,
You mentioned Prink. I think this is a lot better.
It may be a lot better than Prink, but I think that for people who might be voting for a Balkan ballad, if they have to choose one, I think Prink has some obvious advantages over Nina, namely his muscles.
Yeah.
Come lefty and righty.
Baby. I like the voice. I like the performance. I acknowledge it's definitely on the edge. I could see it just as easily finishing like 11th or 12th, but I like it. I think it's really quite nice. And what Derek was saying about like a Bridges situation, that a little bit tougher road on this one, obviously, than Bridges had, but I could see it. And I think it's a really nice song, and I think it's just getting swallowed up by a lot of the other things. But I think it could surprise. Once we get there and we're hearing all the songs being performed and stuff, I think there's something nice about this one.
Honestly, even though, Eric, you were saying that your opinion is different from everybody else's, it's really not that, I think,
it's not that different.
Whatever. It's I think I don't disagree with any of you in the fact that this is a well-sung song, impeccably sung, really. Nina is a seasoned performer. She knows how to, connect with the camera. She knows how to work the Eurovision ecosystem. She's been here before. And the song, I think, is quite beautiful. I think it builds very, very nicely. But between it being so early in the running order, sandwiched between, we mentioned Milkshake Man before it, but Ireland, Like a Party, is right after it. So it's going to be in between these two very memorable, for good or for bad, other songs. Are people going to remember it? Montenegro also has the tendency to stick with relatively simple staging, not talking Igranka. That isn't a class all of its own. But oftentimes it's just solo singer spotlight on them and just letting the power of the song come through. And sometimes is that going to be overshadowed? I like the song. I like her. I want to see it do well. I want to see Montenegro come back strong. And I'm thrilled that they're here. When it comes to qualification, I feel like they have a bit of an uphill climb. But if we're going purely on quality of song, quality of voice, I feel like it would be one to qualify. But we know that there are other factors at play. I like it, but I worry.
Can I also just add, it is just mind-blowing and wonderful to me every time I remember that this is the singer from Igranka.
Yes.
what a pair of songs. My God.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of an act. I'm trying to think of an act that has had two songs at Eurovision so different from each other. And then again, we might come to that later in this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
But hold on to that thought.
Yeah.
But until
Sergei
then.
Sergei Lazarov.
Well, that too. Well, he was in a class case of emotion, but then he was also on a wall of emotion. I don't know. So it just depends on where you store your emotions. Anyway, are we done with our piece on Montenegro? Are we ready to move on to our next artist and our next
Those
act?
Those two Feminem songs were so different.
Oh, man. 50 candles on the party cakes, y'all. God, that means that song is 20 years old. Oh,
yep.
No. I'm old. All right, anyway,
well,
let's
while Sam talk... recovers, if she can, what do we got next? Oh, you know what it's time for.
What's it time for, Eric?
Yeah.
Let's hear a clip of Albania. All right, that was a little snippet of Zjerm by Shkodra Elektronika from Albania, as we know. It's a two-piece duo made up of Kola Lacha and Beatrice Gjergji, two natives of the city of Shkodra. They'd grown up in Italy. They started recording together around the year 2019. This was their first time taking part in Festival I Kungas. They won it handily on their debut, even though they had previously written a song for Festival I Kungas just a few years ago. The song Ejemja Nuse by Rezarta Smaja, which is a banger. If you haven't heard it, I highly recommend it. It was the third place in 2021. Do yourself a favor and find that one on YouTube if you have a moment. This is going to be in the first semifinal, song number 12. Derek, why don't you kick us off? What do you think of Zjerm?
It's fire.
Fuego.
Yeah,
fire.
Yeah.
This song, considering it came out so early, it still feels like it sort of came out of nowhere. I think it's sort of a culmination of everything Albania's been doing for several years now. And I feel like it hits that sweet spot of being kind of traditional, but kind of modern. I love the little touches in it, like when the male vocalist comes in and he's just sort of like almost like spoken word kind of a contribution. It just adds a weird mystery to it. I'm very intrigued by this the whole way. And looking up the lyrics, I think there's some really interesting like turns of phrase and ideas kind of floating around. It's not just your basic yeah fire love song. Like there's larger elements going on here. I'm really excited to see how they stage this, if they kind of go with that big fire motif. I don't know. I looked up the stage director. I'm not sure what else they've done. They appear to be new. So, but I feel like they have a pretty good history of staging. So I imagine this will probably be one of their better results in a long time. At least I'm hoping so.
Danny, what say you?
Gives me big Constructa vibes. Just the vibes. And I mean that both in terms of sort of the quality of what's going on and sort of the fact that the lyrical content of this very much has to do with what is happening today sociopolitically. Like, I don't have a lot to add because there's you three still left who are probably going to have deeper things to say. This song does not have its hooks in me. Perhaps not quite yet. But intellectually, objectively, I know this is a good song. It's just not a song that I am always hitting back on, you know? I don't always come back to this one. However, it's good. It's good. Eric, take it.
Glad we got that. This song is so good. This is fantastic. Albania's all-time top is sixth, correct?
Yes. That was Sus in 2012, so it's been a little while.
I suspect it will not be for long. I really think this has top five written all over it, especially a year like this. I think that it's cool. It's fun. When we get to the male vocal part and there's that germ at the start of every couple of bars, you're going to hear 15,000 people doing that. And it's going to be so sick. Yeah, I just adore this. I think it has a vibe that not a lot of songs this year do, where it just has it, you know, like this is a weird year. It's going to be all over the place. I'm so excited for it. But this feels like about as and I'm using this word differently than we usually do, a safe bet in terms of being successful, not being like a safe entry, like it's fine. No, this is far beyond that. Also, Revamp came out within the last few days, and thank the Lord they didn't screw this up. It needed very, very little in terms of changes, and that's what it got. And that is a huge relief, because my God, if they turn this into Fall from the Sky or like changed Jerem to fire or some stupid crap like that, like it would have been heartbreaking. I'd like to think Albania understands what they have, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And that okay, we gotta put a little more effort into this. We kind of need to go for it, because this is the best shot we've had maybe ever. And so let's go. I think the sky's the limit here. If the staging's really cool, it could win. It's good enough to win. We'll put it that way. I know that the path there in terms of the points, the narrative, you know, there's a lot of things, but I think it's good enough to win. Sam?
I love this so much. One of the, I mean, I don't like ever saying that a Eurovision year is strong or weak, or, you know, we don't know that until really the end and the whole culmination of it. But any moment that I had looking at the landscape of the year and me thinking, oh, it's a weak year, I think it may have been partially because for me, my personal favorite song was the second song picked. And there have been very few things that have risen to that level. So I realized that that is where my brain is coming from. To me, this song is unique in the same way that Shum was. It's obviously a lot more downbeat and not quite as dancey, but in terms of the mix of traditional sounds from the country, including language, plus making something accessible and modern and engaging, it's a very hard combination. Sometimes it can feel forced, but this feels so natural and so engaging to me. Beatrice is engaging and wonderful. Cole is enigmatic and weird in a way that it's very difficult for me to keep my eyes off of. And looking at the lyrics, again, it's a prayer for a better future, but it doesn't feel cheesy. It's the purification of, you know, and the purging of evil through fire, and it's taking on these big topics in a way that still feels very accessible and comfortable. I mean, even just things like the cover art for the single. That's strange. If you look at it, it's a sort of a strange squiggle, like squares and circles kind of. If you look at it, somebody actually was able to figure out that that is a schematic of the Schroeder City Mental Hospital.
Pod. What?
Yeah. If you look at the cover art of Germ, and you look at a Google map of Schroeder City, like mental hospital or you know, psychiatric hospital, that's what that is.
Can
and
I it ask just, a follow-up question?
Yeah.
Why?
Like, I don't why know, but that? I love the is fact it... that this is the way that their brains go instead of just here's a picture of the artist okay. looking pretty. It's something deeper, and it makes this song engages me to want to learn more about where are they coming from? What are they doing? What is their back catalog? And to me, that is what Eurovision inspires for me. This song to me does what Shum does. I don't know if it's going to have the same level of success. My God, I hope it does. I want Albania to have this kind of success at this contest that they've never had before. I don't know if we're going to Tirana next year. I don't know. I don't know if the delegation knows what they would do if we're in Tirana next year. However, I've heard that they are willing to put in more money in the staging for this event than they have in any other previous Eurovision, which makes me think that the delegation believes in it. And well, that gives me comfort too. They should. They absolutely should. Yeah, I
that
when
is
we
the
ask,
correct course of action.
Yeah, yeah. And I cannot wait to see what they do with this live and in person. Dude, you know, please take the lead, or else I'm just going to keep on rambling.
So first of all, I just want to compliment Albania for a wonderful festival Ikengis this
yes.
year.
Yes.
It was so good.
It was
and
a good year.
So strong. And to have so many great songs in Festival Ikengis and then have this emerge. I remember the first time I saw it and I was enjoying it. And then the hoppa came out and I was like, ooh, I'm liking this. And then the spoken word bit happened and I said, oh, I'm loving this, because this is the kind of avant-garde entry that we need. It is that constructa, and it's the thing that I love. This could be performed in an art museum, and it could be performed on the Eurovision stage. It's equally comfortable in both places. A couple days ago, before this recording, Eric, you mentioned the revamp, and mm-hmm. the music video came out with the revamp, and it was kind of the first time we had a chance to see visuals aside from the live performance. And I think they absolutely just nailed it. The image of Cole sitting there with the flaming newspaper is embedded in my eyeballs. And it was one of the coolest things I've seen in this year's Eurovision. I want to take them to brunch and tell them how wonderful they are, because they're just like, I want to grow up and be them. They're just amazing. And I will continue to just say wonderful things about them. And I would not be mad if we went to Tirana next year, because this is such a great song.
I feel like I want to take him to brunch is like the greatest compliment you can give. Anything.
I love it.
Anything. In conclusion, sure.
Here. Are we ready to move on to our next song then?
I think so.
All right, let's keep it going. We head over to Norway for song number 3. Here is Lighter by Kyle Alessandro. I'm not afraid to set it all on fire. I won't fall again. All right, so that was a clip from Lighter, this year's entry from Norway by Kyle Alessandro. He's 19 years old. He seems to be this year's youngest act. Took part in Norway's version of Got Talent at the age of 10. He took part in Melody Grand Prix 2023 as one half of the duo Umami Tsunami, which made it to the... made it to the
good.
So made it good. To the final with their song Geronimo. Unfortunately, last place in the final, but they qualified for the final nonetheless. So, yeah, this is in semifinal number 1, song number 8. Danny, what say you about Lighter?
I'm tired of a million tries to fight the signs. And when everybody tried to tell me, I should have known that it was time to break free. Your reins that kept me at your mercy, I'll burn them to the ground. No more, no more. Ignite the fire. I think the Duncan Lawrence Award for the stupidest goddamn lyrics in the world go to Norway this year. Fantastic.
Oh.
Good.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were trying to somehow say that this is how you are quitting the podcast.
No, that's actually the... those are the words that I say to awaken my sleeper agents across the globe. This is the definition of, dear God, if you like this song, your brain really must be off. It is only when my brain completely shuts off that I'm able to sort of get into this song, because these lyrics mean nothing. These lyrics are, much like when we were talking about Heroes a couple of months ago, just sort of there to make sense as isolated phrases. They're just phrases that have currency, but they have no semiotic meaning in this. It's stupidity. These lyrics are dumb. They were just put there to fit a song that someone from Melfest had, a really fantastic songwriter, but they had no lyricist with them, and some lyricist came in and just plunked these in there. I don't know what to say. The result is something that feels completely machine-made in a way where it's like, I can tell it's machine-made because I picked it up and it cut me and it hurts and now I don't use it anymore. I don't think it's bad, but it is, it's dumb. Eric, take it.
You know what the song's about, right?
Right, Danny.
It's about my own lighter.
We'll get to that.
Will we get to it? Because it feels like there's three different analogies, three different metaphors happening here. I don't get it. I don't like it.
I mean, and that is the fault of the song, but I just wanted to get that context out there.
Okay, well, I don't have the context, and I've been listening to it for a while, nobody watching will have this context.
Totally.
Like, correct. Somebody tell me what that is. Eric, do you know what it is?
I actually don't.
We'll get to it.
Can someone please go proceed. Over this really quick?
No.
Yes.
Let's go, apparently, yeah.
go okay. ahead, please.
So it's inspired by his mom and her battle with cancer.
Okay.
Oh, there you go, Danny.
Yeah, now
his mom's okay, by the way. She's recovered.
Yeah, yeah.
But Eric, go ahead, and then I will talk about why I find that so incredibly offensive. But that's just me.
Oh, apparently, she told him to never let his light go out or something to that effect, and that's kind of where it came from.
Okay. So he wrote it himself?
There are two other lyricists.
But only two? That's not so bad.
No, it's three altogether, including Kyle Alessandro.
But he did co-write it and produce it.
Guys, I'm really sorry for what I'm about to say. I can't help it. I'm a sucker for this crap.
I'm not a sucker for this crap.
I mean, should it also be noted that you are part Norwegian?
I am part Norwegian.
Okay, so we gotta get
and also a cancer survivor. So,
yeah.
But you know, I didn't know that until 2 minutes ago.
I was gonna say you didn't know.
No, you're right. I don't. Listen, I look.
You didn't know you were Norwegian until 2 minutes ago?
I can't help it. I acknowledge this is cotton candy, as Sam likes to put it. It's there, it's gone, but while it's there, it's sweet and leaves some sort of weird residue in my mouth. And I genuinely don't want to like this because it's just that same thing, right? This is the Swedish factory or what, you know, whatever we like to call it. It's just a really, really straightforward pop song. But those are successful because they're catchy and it works on people. And unfortunately, despite my best efforts, it works on me. I'm not saying this is like top 10 for me because I really don't think it is. But it's like mid 15 to 20 ish area. I enjoy it. I don't mind I acknowledge the things like Danny is saying and that everyone else besides me is about to say, but it still kind of works for me. I think it's enjoyable, and I'm sorry, Sam.
No, I mean, this is not a song for me, just because I don't tend to go for the very sort of straightforward, simplistic, danceable pop. That's not what I normally reach for. I appreciate the fact that sometimes we'll see like songs that are, oh, this is about my mother and the artist isn't necessarily involved in the songwriting of it. I understand that this is coming from a place of genuine connection and love and care. I don't love the fact that it takes me a while to kind of get the message of it, that it's filled with these platitudes, like what we were saying before about heroes, that it, because it seems so cut and dry and so paint by numbers, I just kind of just shrug my shoulders and roll on to the next song, rather than, you know, giving it the time and the respect that I think that the song probably does deserve when it comes to the heartfelt nature of what it, of its origin story. It's fine. It's not for me. I put this
to be your own lighter.
You know, self-reliance is important. That's certainly an important skill and an important, you know, if that's the message that he's taken from his mother, then that's fine. But I react to this in the way that I tended to react to a lot of Swedish entries in the past. And I've talked about this before, about how I like a song to have some roughness to it and something to grab onto. This just seems very, very polished and very, very perfect in a way that I don't engage with in the same way. I clinically understand this is fine. Kyle is talented, you know, good on him. And he, obviously he's making his dream come true and honoring his mom and, you know, more power to her that she's doing all right. This just isn't for me. It's, you know, I'm sure that there are folks who absolutely love it. And, but I feel that there are other songs this year that engage me more, and that's fine. Dude, you take it.
So first of all, let me say that I'm a big fan of Umami Tsunami and their song Geronimo.
Just for a second there, I thought you were going to be like, I'm a big fan of cancer survivors. I'm a big fan of surviving
also,
cancer.
Cancer survivors, 100% love them. I am a stan of cancer survivors.
Yeah, no choice but woo-hoo. To stan.
And Eric, I agree with you in that, like, in terms of cotton candy songs, I am the target market for cotton candy songs. If you give me a dance beat and some nonsense lyrics, I will usually be into it. But I think the fact that he said this song is inspired by my mother who had cancer, and then the first verse is about a golden girl, and it starts off and it sounds like a breakup song. I'm like, where is your mother in this? You're writing a breakup song inspired by your mother's battle with cancer? It doesn't make sense to me. I also like the message of inspiring yourself, but I also have issues with the whole message of cancer fighters. And it seems to imply that, you know, if you don't survive cancer, you didn't fight hard enough. So the whole imagery of him wearing armor and doing other things to be a fighter seems to be taking his mother's story as inspiration, but then twisting it for something which seems completely and totally removed from what she went through. If he said, I'm really glad my mom survived cancer and was able to see me perform in Eurovision, I've got this great song, Lighter, fine. But to be like, I wrote a song inspired by my mom's battle with cancer, and it has no connection in the visuals, in the lyrics, to anything that is remotely linking with his mom, I have kind of issues with that, because it seems like he's using her cancer battle to somehow make this song more relatable when he doesn't need to do that. And yes, everybody can express themselves in their own way. He's free to do that. But yeah, I don't think it's working the way he wants it to. That was a lot.
Derek, what do you think?
This one is...
is?
Not great. Let me get out of the way. I think I was kind of thinking about what dude said in terms of like, oh, it's inspired by this experience. And we get a lot of songs that are often inspired by tragedy or moments in their own life that are difficult. I feel like he took the lesson from that and made it into something different. I'm not necessarily saying the song is separate from that, but like he took the inspiration he took from the story was to believe in yourself and keep yourself going. And that somewhere along the way that got divorced from his mother's story altogether. I read this song by itself as you dumped me, this woman he was dating dumped him for whatever reason. And now he's like, I'm on my own, but I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to keep moving forward.
That's literally what I always thought this song was. That is just what I thought this song was.
And looking at the song, and the song needs to stand on its own. That's what it's saying. We get a lot of songs like that, a lot of breakup songs. To kind of go in that direction, I think is not a lot of ingenuity there. I think the song itself feels sort of cut and paste, boy band, sort of Justin Timberlake or like old school kind of pop song. The co-writer was Adam Woods, who's a Swedish songwriter. He's been around for a little while. They got the stage director from Uwe Helm, which will be interesting.
Yeah, wow. What a whiplash from last year to this year.
I know, right? Well, they're still going to be wearing the armor and all that. This is going to sound awful. I expect more from Norway. I feel like it's a country that tends to be riskier or try different things. And, you know, sometimes they fall on their face like Uwe Helm did. But there was nothing else like it. And that was a really fascinating song. Even if you didn't like it, you had to look at it and be like, this is interesting and different and weird. And this just feels very safe. And it seems like a country that just for whatever reason didn't want to take a risk. And I know head of press or head of delegation recently changed.
Yes. Stig Carlson, I believe, is no longer.
Stig, left. And maybe some of that there was some other turnover and they're just kind of getting their footing. Okay, I get that. I don't have anything against him. I think he's a good singer, but this is a situation where I feel like he's a little too young for this, and not that he couldn't pull it off, but I just don't think he's ready to go to Eurovision with something like this. It lacks a maturity and an introspection and a little bit more depth that is missing, that I feel like you'd get from a younger artist who needs a little bit more experience before they can kind of go bigger.
Sure.
I think it's fine, but in the context of the contest, even a year like this, it just doesn't feel like enough.
Do you know do you recall the Mitch Hedberg gag about movies that are inspired by a true story versus based on a true story?
I haven't heard that one. No.
Okay. No. So he says like he just thinks it's weird to say inspired by because then it could be anything. And he's like, hey, do you remember that plane crash where a whole bunch of people died? And then he's like, yes, I did, and that inspired me to write a movie about a gorilla. Like maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
I just think it's going to be very interesting, the fact that if the big discussion about the song is going to be his mother's story, which again, I honor her story. I'm thrilled that she's doing okay. Earlier in the same semifinal, we have another song dealing with the themes of fear of losing somebody, and it's done very directly and very, very honestly, without the artifice of, you know, it's a song about fear of one's mortality, but it's also a breakup song. No, I mean, we have Slovenia in slot number three, thinking of, I'm here at the doctor's office and my wife has just gotten a deadly diagnosis. Oh my God, how much time do we have left together before one of us dies? It's a very interesting kind of counterpoint between these two, and we'll see how this plays out. But I don't like pitting songs against each other, but it's something I'll be pondering when we're in Basel.
And it's something that I'm wondering about as well, because if you're watching this on the Tuesday night and you're coming into it fresh, you're going to have no idea that this was inspired by his mother's bout with cancer. Absolutely no idea. But that's going to be the leading thing in all of the stories about the song. So it seems like, and this sounds really horrible to say, but it seems like it's that story is being used as a press gimmick, as an angle, as something to get attention for the song in a way that doesn't actually translate to anything in the performance that people will see on Tuesday night.
I think it's going to be very, very interesting to see what the commentator's briefing provides about this song in terms of what they're going to be given before the semifinal. If they say, oh, yeah, this is Kyle Alessandro. He's this year's youngest artist. He's, you know, a singer and a dancer, and he was on Norway's Got Talent at age 10. Here's Lighter versus this is Kyle Alessandro. He wrote the song in honor of his mother's battle with cancer. Here's Lighter. That's going to be a very different narrative, and audiences might react very differently to it. And on that note, are we ready to move on to our next song? Or
yes, please.
All right.
Yes.
So, interesting fact about the Norwegian national final is we had the potential to send the act Bobby Sox, which would have set a record for the longest span between Eurovision performances. They did not make it through. However, we do have a new record set this year for the longest time between Eurovision entries, and we are going to talk about that right now. Here is Poland, the song Gaia by Justyna Trzaskowska. I hope I pronounced that right. Sorry, Justyna, if I got it wrong. I know you could probably kill me just by looking at me. All right, that was a clip of Justyna Trzaskowska and Gaia, her song for Poland. She is the other returning act this year, as I've mentioned. She is the representative of Poland from 1995. That's a full 30 years ago with her song Sama. She came in 18th place out of 23 that year. She is now 52 years old, somehow looks younger than she did back in 1995. She is now the owner of the record for the longest time between Eurovision entries. Previous record holder was Anna Vissi, who represented Cyprus in 82 and then Greece in 2006. More power to her. Justyna was the runner-up in last year's internal selection process with their song Witch Tarahoro. Gaia is actually a cut off of that same album. It was released within the legal Eurovision time frame, so no arguments with that. She's a very well-established name in Poland, over a dozen studio albums. She was a coach on The Voice of Poland. She was a judge on Your Face Sounds Familiar. She was a runner-up on Dancing with the Stars. She is all over the place, including song number 2 in semifinal 1. Eric, what do you think of Gaia this year?
What was the name of the song that was the runner-up last year?
Witch Tarahoro?
Witch?
Like witches and warlocks?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an internal selection process, but they did publicize the scores for the candidates internally. And she was very, very close, just missing out to Luna, the tower.
Well, that title makes sense, because this woman is clearly a witch. I do not believe she can... she's 52.
Yes.
Get the hell out of here. That, she drink it. Is this what the water from that getting ready by morning routine guy drinks or something? Like this is.
It's that and the rubbing the banana peels on your face.
Oh, that's what that's it right. does.
This
that's,
is what okay. he gets up at 3 in the morning to drink. Yeah.
Yeah. And then stick his face in. Anyway. So this is I think it's cool that this episode has both of the songs in a series I like to call Suddenly a Guy is Speaking. It's this and Germ, just in case you're confused. It also subscribes to another kind of weird recurring theme we have this year, which is dangling from the ceiling, which is another thing. And there are rules about that in Eurovision world. Generally speaking, you're not allowed to do that. Because a lot of roofs aren't rated for it and so on and so forth. I'm curious to see what happens with this one and Ikoma and some others that seem to want to be very reliant on some sort of ceiling business. I should talk about the song, I guess. I don't know. It's fine. It's got some Dear God going on, which I appreciate. I like that it evolves and suddenly there's that guy making noises and things like that. I've seen some lists that have this super, super high in their rankings, and I don't see that. I think it's an interesting song. I think it's weird that it got the death slot in semi one. I enjoy it when it's on, and then I don't really think about it afterwards. I don't know. It just doesn't do a ton for me. My main takeaway is that she's a witch, and there's some Paul Rudd aging action going on. Like, I don't know. This is, it's not right, you guys. It's not right. I look, I'm much younger than this lady, and I look 20 years older, at least. So, Poland, whatever you're doing, cool, I guess. I don't know. Sam, what do you think?
No, I was going to say, like, Juan Ponce de Leon was convinced that the Fountain of Youth was in Florida, and evidently it's in a deep woods somewhere in central Poland or wherever Justyna is from. Seriously, I normally don't harp on this kind of thing, but I need to know this woman's moisturizing routine or like whatever product she's using, or if she's just got a crank installed in the back of her head that just pulls the wrinkles back. I don't know. But like whatever she's doing, it is working. More power to her. Holy crap, girl. And the song is, you know, we were talking about songs that are totally different from what we had seen previously. You know, when it comes to the whiplash of Igranka to Dobrodošli, you could say the same thing about Sama to Gaia in terms of the style, in terms of the genre, in terms of the presentation. It's crazy to think that this is the same person. However, I guess the running theme is the fact that the vocals are incredibly impressive. Sama had a redonkulous high note at the end of it. And she, during the performance of Sama, seemed to be sort of in her own world. And I guess this is the world that she has created, is, you know, her surrounded by her dancing acolytes and suspended from the ceiling. It took her 30 years, but I guess she's created her own civilization. And I it's terrifying and wonderful. This song is a lot. It is a lot to kind of wrap your arms around in terms of, I think, was it last week that we talked about a song just being loud and it being,
yes,
kind of,
that was me.
Was that in regard to Parg? Yeah.
It was getting Parged, yes.
Yeah. This for me is getting Parged a little bit. It's just, it's a lot. It is drinking out of the fire hose. I recognize how good her vocals are, how solid her vocals are in terms of the dance routine that comes with it. That is not easy to do and stay in tune and not sound like you're running out of breath. We've talked about this on an episode a couple weeks ago. I feel like it's trying to be Shum, but not quite there in terms of the, you know, the local sort of proto-Slavic witchy chanting. But it, to me, it feels like it's trying to bite off a little bit too much. It's like each individual part is good, is solid, is fine, is even impressive. But it's just a lot, and it's giving me a bit of whiplash. So I think that's kind of where I am with it. It's sort of mid-table for me, but as a mechanical, clinical piece, I recognize the artistry. Dude, what do you think?
So this song may be in the death slot, but if death were to come for Justyna, she would punch it in the face and then let out a sustained long note for 45 seconds. I absolutely adore this song. It's maximalist. I'm an American. I love, like, I'm like, give me more. No, give me more. And this song gives me more. I think in a way, there are some similarities to Sama, because the kind of chorus in Gaia is a note that is held for a very long time. And in Sama, there was also a lot of notes being held for a very long time. But what Sama didn't have was a latex catsuit, heels, a pirate with a violin. I think she played the violin briefly in Sama. Here she plays the violin again briefly. It did not have a Taibo routine that, like, would totally kick my ass. Honestly, this woman shames me in terms of what she's doing on those 3 minutes on stage. She is shaming every single other act in terms of what she is doing those 3 minutes on stage. Kyle Alessandro is 19 years old. He's doing a tiny little dance break. Justyna is 52 years old. She is doing a 3 minute dance break, playing the violin and then hanging from the ceiling, all while maintaining a pitch perfect vocal. This song is amazing. It's a feat of nature, Gaia, as it were. And I want to see more of this. Poland is going to make it more on stage because Poland's going to Poland at Eurovision, and they're just going to possibly add on more elements. And I don't mind. I cannot wait to see how absolutely ridiculous this becomes at Basel.
Derek?
Oh, I agree. This is absolutely a celebration of excess. And I respect her for that. I think it's just so incredible to see an act go. And I feel like we talked about this last time, too, with Tommy Cash specifically, was just this idea that if you're going to go, you got to go all in. You can't go halfway. And I think everything that's happening on stage, it's just spectacle. It's just insanity. You think, oh, God, that's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And then 5 seconds later, something else happens. It's kind of one of those things where you can't look away from it. You can't ignore it. Even if you don't like it, it's doing something really spectacular. The song itself, I think the song itself is fine, but I don't think the song really matters. I think it's the whole package. And that's what Eurovision is. It's the whole package. You got a song, you got a performance, you got staging, you got lights and pyrotechnics. And I mean, they're leaving everything on the field, I guess the expression. Like, they're not holding back in any column. I'm excited to see this. I think this will do well. I don't know how well, but somebody broke it down recently and said, like, Poland consistently does very well with the televote and not with the jury. And I can see that happening again.
Mm.
But yeah, I think they're setting the bar really high for just performances, for staging. I think this is something, you know, we should respect and reward justifiably. Yeah, I'm enthralled. Let's say that. For 3 minutes, I was never bored. I was never checking my watch.
Danny?
I don't think anyone wants it as hard as Poland this year. And I think Poland has wanted it really bad for at least 7 years. I think it's obvious that they have put as much into this song as they possibly can. My worry is that the song only has such a capacity. The song can only support so much. The song really has to be good in the first place. Like, and not to say that this song blows, because it's good. But, you know, there's only a handful of songs each year where you're like, there's something special here. There's something really cool here. There's something really listenable or danceable here. There's a call to action here. This is a song that has all of the right elements behind it, except for a great song. I'm so sorry. They have the right singer. They have the right staging. They have the right ambition. Like, it all seems to work. But I just don't know if the song has the oomph. The song is structured, or if it has the right lyrical content in order to really merit that special something that we talk about. Like, does it feel good to vote for this song? Is there something just beneath the surface that is potent or enriching, that makes you feel really good about voting for this song? I don't think it's quite there. I like this song a lot. It's impressive to listen. It's an impressive song. But I just don't know if it's got it, you know, the capital I, it. I'm just not sure.
It doesn't have that piece where you can sing along to it. There's not that moment that's going to involve everybody. And that's partially because Justina is such a singular talent. But when your chorus is essentially just a note held for a very long time, people in the arena, it'll just sound like people screaming along if they try to duplicate that.
If they try to duplicate that, you'll have people fainting. You'll have people losing consciousness, you know, lack of oxygenation. Yeah. you can't just belt that out without some serious training, y'all.
I don't think I'll be able to change my opinion or say anything more until I see this performed again on the day. This is a song that's all about its performance.
If, God forbid, she overexerts in the rehearsal and gives herself laryngitis, if she spends too much time in the wrong kind of air conditioning, plays a little bit too hard at the Euro Club one night, this could go off the rails so hard.
She knows exactly how to do it.
This song has a lot going on, and if one piece falls out of place, then ye gads. Have we all said our piece about Gaia? Have we all, you know, prayed to the dear God and lit our candles? All right, then let's move on to our next song. Here comes Claude from the Netherlands with C'est la vie. C'est comme si, c'est comme ça, c'est en haut et en bas, it goes up, it goes down, and around, que sera, oui sera, me voici, me voilà, chanter, un, deux, trois, c'est la 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 vie. All All right, that is C'est la vie by Claude, representing the Netherlands. 21 years old, born originally in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, emigrated to the Netherlands with his family at the age of 9. I was a participant in The Voice Kids back in 2019, and then the winner of the talent show Are You Next in 2020.
Oh, God.
Sings, sings primarily in French and English, and he's had a couple of pretty big hits on the Dutch charts since that first single of his dropped in 2022. This is song number 13, semifinal 1. I believe this is only the third time in Dutch Eurovision history that we've had a language other than English or Dutch represented. Granted, one of those was an imaginary language, so do that with that as you will. And the other was Django McCroy singing in partially in Sranantongo. So very, very cool to see more linguistic representation. I'm just surprised to see it coming from the Netherlands. I wasn't expecting this. This song feels more French than France in a way. This is the kind of thing that we often talk about at Junior Eurovision.
Yeah.
From France, of a I don't want to say cliched, but an often used, well-referenced phrase being used, you know, comme ci, comme ça, c'est la vie, that feels very simplistic, but at the same time also is very, very memorable. That the song doesn't push a lot when it comes to its structure, you know, its composition, its lyrical structure, but there's a comfort to that. Possibly because of the massive risks taken by the Dutch song last year and the fact that it was going to be a very, you know, big swing for the fences moment. We also, you know, we know how it ended up, but the song itself, Europapa, was a unique and difficult and one of a kind of song. This feels it's capable and it's solid and it's fine and it's good, but very safe compared to that and very accessible. And I don't know if the delegation has just swung so far in the opposite direction after everything that happened in the Netherlands with the Dutch Act last year. If they were just sending something that was solid and good and harmless just to make sure that just to keep things ticking over. I don't know. This song is nice. It's, you know, Claude is a capable, talented performer. I've heard some of his other stuff and he's really a solid, solid act. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with this. I like a little bit of risk in my Eurovision. This doesn't necessarily bring it, but as a capable, engaging, catchy song in a language I wasn't expecting from the Netherlands, this is fine. Dude, what do you think?
So I like this song a lot, and I've heard some people call it simplistic, because as you said, it's kind of got that Junior Eurovision feel to it with that phrasing of c'est la vie and focusing on that particular phrasing. But I think the lyrics are kind of explaining why that's happening, because mm-hmm. Claude is remembering a snatch of melody from a song that his mother sang to him. And he's now turning that melody into his own song. And I really kind of like the themes that are coming out in that. It's a beautiful tribute to his mother, and done very, very in a very nice way, I think, and a very clear tribute to his mother, unlike some of the other acts we've seen tonight. I get that it feels safe, but it feels like a chanson. It's an enjoyable song, and it's one that I'm going to have fun seeing performed. We've seen Claude perform this live on Dutch television, and he's done a great job with it. And when this song comes on in the arena, I'm going to kind of relax and just sit back and know that for the next 3 minutes, I'm going to have a good time with a good singer who's telling me a story from his heart. Sometimes songs don't have to be complicated. They don't have to be overdone. And this seems simple, but I feel like there's a lot of heart there, and I really appreciate that.
Derek?
Yeah, I think it's a little simple, but I get it. I love that it starts out very understated with just the piano, and you think it's going to be this kind of soft, understated melody, and then it picks up very quickly. And I love the way that I've only seen the music video. I haven't seen his live performance yet, but he incorporates dance so much into the performance. And I feel like that's going to be a big part of the staging as well. And there's a real, like dude said, it's very genuine. Like it feels very honest. It feels very sweet, kind of warm. Like we talked about the Portuguese song. There's something very comforting about listening to this and feeling that warmth that he has about this memory. And he's sharing that. And he's creating that sensation through the music, through his performance. And I think that's really, really interesting. I think there's a really good reason why this is fifth in the betting odds, which is kind of a shock for a song like this. But like, you wouldn't think something like this would really connect with people that much, but people are really getting it. And I think there's a reason for that. You know, going from Poland to this, it's not big and flashy, but, you know, it doesn't have to be. I think it's doing plenty to get you involved and connected. And I think he's doing an exceptional job of that.
Danny?
Yeah, it just works. I don't think it's... I'm also a little bit baffled by its high spot in the betting odds, because while everything works, I actually have to fault it because I think it does sound too much like some sort of thing at Junior Eurovision. I think it is too simple. I think it is too it's too unambitious. Yeah. It's verse, chorus, little bridge, chorus. He sings it fine. There's no real vocal acrobatics to sort of boast of. I don't know. It's well crafted and well made, but it's also like, well, who cares? I don't want to be too mean to it because it's not bad. I don't even find it annoying. I don't even find it low quality. I just find it completely doesn't ring for me. Huh. Anyway, Eric.
Same.
I feel terrible
about it, right? He's clearly very good. Dancing's good. Song is very pleasant. You know, a pleasant plus, if you will. Like it's really, really nice. But I'm having the same problem. I don't quite see the call to action necessarily. Like, how big of a televote score is this gonna get? You know? I don't know. It should be good. The song's really good. People seem to really like it. It'll make it to the final. I'm not worried about that. It's a good song, really good song, but it doesn't grab me. I will use the rest of my time to note. So he's Congolese, which is cool. Just like one of my personal heroes, Dikembe Mutombo.
Aww.
Big rip to the big man, by the way. In addition to four Defensive Player of the Year awards, he spent almost all of his money on Congolese charities and things like that. He opened a $30 million hospital in Kinshasa, named it after his mother. So has saved many, many lives as a result. And I think my main takeaway from this song is rest in peace to Dikembe Mutombo.
And on that note, should we roll over to our next and last song of the podcast? All right, I'm taking that resounding silence as a sure thing. So,
what's your favorite Mutombo moment, everyone?
What is happening right now?
Didn't Dikembe Mutombo appear on Sesame Street?
Oh, that sounds like something he'd do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite Dikembe Mutombo moment, if I'm recalling correctly.
Glad.
I mean, aside from the hospital. Which he built, which is
pretty good moment, actually. Yeah.
Is this just like a mom cast, like a song, you know, a mom's cast this week between Mother Earth and, you know, memories of what your mom had told you and, you know, hoping your mom gets all right. Yeah. It's all right. So today's the mom cast.
Quick Google search.
France next.
Yeah. A quick Google search says that, listen, I'm putting off talking about Poison Cake. You're welcome. He did do a Sesame Street bit with Cookie Monster because they had the same voice.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fine.
All right. All right. So let's hear. Let's get ourselves a little bit of a slice of this poison cake from Croatia. Here's a little snippet of Marko Bošnjak.
Tasty, tasty, yum, yum, tasty, candy, colors, oh, so nice. Take a bite of my poison cake.
And we're back. Poison cake. Yeah, that was Marko Bošnjak from Croatia, 21 years old. Got his start as the winner of actually a Serbian kids talent show, Pinkove Zvezdice, in 2015. Took part in Dora, the Croatian national final, in 2022 with the song Moli za nas, coming in second place behind Guilty Pleasure. This is going to be song number 14 in semifinal one. So yeah, we talked about espresso macchiato last week. This week's delicious, delectable treat will be poison cake. Dude, what do you think of that cake?
Eric, I'm glad you brought up that Dikembe Mutombo Cookie Monster clip, because if we're spending any time with food, I think a better use of 3 minutes might be watching Dikembe Mutombo and Cookie Monster.
I've I changed the game.
Yeah, poison cake. wow, this song is bad. I like Marco seems lovely. I think he's a really interesting artist. I'm usually a fan of the goth kids in Eurovision. But the problem with this song is that in the middle of it, there's a shift to a children's plinky plonky dinky donkey chorus, which makes my ears hurt. And because of that, I just can't enjoy the performance. And there are moments that are really good when he's, you know, singing about poison cake. Again, the lyrics are a little bit weird, but I'm kind of tensing myself because I know that that children's chorus moment is going to come around again, and I just cannot relax and enjoy this song. So yeah, I kind of wish that Extra by Fengsta had won Dora, because who doesn't want a 36-year-old Reddit user rapping about how you can be whatever you want to be and don't let go of your dreams? I really love that message. So yeah, shout out to Extra.
Derek.
Who's next?
Oh man.
Yep, it's your turn, buddy.
I don't know where to begin. My whole takeaway from this is he saw Bambi Thug last year and thought, I can do that. And kind of pushes it so we have like this really dark, industrial, mean song that combined with a sort of a light, fun little nursery rhyme kind of melody. And I get what he's doing. There's a lot of ideas going on musically. It's a risk, I'll give you that. And it just doesn't work. I think what really hurts is the fact that his live performance was terrible. Like, it was profoundly bad. And he was going for those big notes and just really not getting there. And I'm kind of shocked that this did as well as it did. I'm surprised it won. There was maybe a way you could alter it and change it and make something kind of interesting about it. But I just don't know. I'm not really sure what the point of this is. Am I supposed to be disturbed? And if so, what am I disturbed by? I'm not, like, he's talking about revenge, but I'm like, I don't know why you're angry. He said, he kind of, there's a line in it, it's like, I'm not your servant. Like, okay, can I get some kind of indication? What would drive you to murder, especially in this method? I think that's intriguing, you know? If there's a story to be told there about, like, almost like an Alfred Hitchcock style, I'm going to get into the head of a killer and I'm going to try and understand, like, what would push someone to do this in this way in particular. And it's not really there. It's just the act itself is meant to be enticing or disturbing. And it's just not enough by itself. I really don't like this song. I really don't understand how they could have come from, you know, Baby Lasagna to this. It's as if everyone in the country was like, whoa, 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 we got a little too close to winning there. Let's not do that again. Anyway, Danny.
I get shades of Bambi Thug and Luke Black here. And that's an insult to both of those artists. It's the sing-songy, it's the repetitiveness, it's the way that it keeps repeating in the chorus, it's the way they keep saying the same thing over and over, the way that it just repeats, and also an issue with repetition, I think, and then maybe the fact that he just keeps saying the same thing, like repeating himself. I fucking hate it, Eric. I mean, take it away, Eric. But like, sure. What can you say? I don't even want to. This might just, and I know we're coming from what I said on the last episode about Parg, but this is a deeply unenjoyable song. I can find nothing here to enjoy to like listening to. It's a skip every time, Eric.
Well, do I like this song? In the words of Eurovision legend Dikembe Mutombo. No, 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 no.
I knew it was coming. I knew it was happening. I couldn't do anything to stop it.
No, you can't. This sucks. I have a hard time finding anything redeeming about it to talk about.
Isn't it refreshing in a way to just sort of encounter a song where you're just I have nothing nice to say?
A little. It's like when Roger Ebert saw a movie that he like.
Yeah,
he was like, at his best when he hated something, right?
Yeah.
I will say I had not seen the music video. The studio version, for the first 30 seconds, I almost forgot what song this was. Unfortunately, that 30 seconds is followed by the other 2.5 minutes of this song. I am absolutely flabbergasted that this won a national final. And not only did it win, it won the jury by an enormous margin. Enormous margin. It was fourth in the televote. It did respectable in the televote. Fine, whatever. But this absolutely bowled over the jury like Nemo did. And I just, we probably have some listeners in Croatia. I'm sure we do. If you are from Croatia, could you please send us an email or something, 12pointsforamerica@gmail.com, and explain what happened? Because I am more than willing to acknowledge there could be a cultural thing, a genre thing, where something about this is just really, really big there or something like that. But I am looking at this and just thinking, how? I don't understand. You sent an all-timer last year, and now it's Take a Bite of My Poison Cake. I'm just baffled. Who is this for? What is the audience for this? Like, who?
Disney villains?
Theater kids.
All right, I'm a theater kid. This isn't necessarily for me.
Could this get nul point in a semi? It hasn't happened in a while.
If he performs it the way he did at the national final, yeah.
I think that's the biggest, most fascinating question about this song is how few points will it. We had a couple do that in Liverpool, but that was the first time it had happened in a while.
Yeah, that was
It is hard to get no points in a semi. There just aren't that many songs. I think this could do it.
I mean, it's easier now that the juries are not taking part in the semifinals. It's just public vote, so it's not as hard as it used to be.
No, but still, I'm just baffled. I don't know who likes this, who would vote for it. I don't understand what even the intended audience is.
Okay, I just want to point out here that Marcus, and like, I'm saying this from an observational perspective, but Marcus is a cute 21-year-old. So a lot of people are going to be thinking with their eyes and not their ears and vote for this song.
What if it qualifies? Wouldn't that be wild?
Weirder stuff has happened. I agree with basically what everybody else has said, and the fact that they're trying to take influence from, say, Bambi or many other more edgy acts, and it just didn't quite gel in the way that I think that they wanted it to. In the fact of having, you know, these dark themes, the sort of mysterious, these sort of villainous, but also mixed with a bit of levity and brightness and sort of the you know, in a narrative way, I could see, oh, yes, it makes it more unsettling. However, I'm definitely unsettled, and that doesn't make me want to engage with this. You know, we talked about the fact that the public put this in a pretty distant fourth place in the national final. Looking at the split of the jury vote, it received four sets of maximum scores. Three of those four were actually from international juries, because there were some international juries and some domestic jury. So I think when you're pointing the finger at the Croatian public and asking them for an explanation, I don't think they're the ones at fault here.
It's strategic. It's to keep them if all these international juries collaborate to pick this really stupid song, then we don't have to worry about them. I'm not saying that actually happened. But I'm saying it.
I'm not going to rule out the possibility that it was rigged.
I'm not going to go that far, but
I'm not saying it was. But if it comes out later that it was, I'd be like,
it is. I hear you. It is such a curious result, just in terms of this song, really. I don't know.
I'm just kind of sad that we didn't have the song by Magazine end up taking it. The brilliantly titled
Oh yeah, that
we already have that with Justina. She's bringing that. She's got the enough for everybody.
But I mean, but can't vote for itself. You have to have another so the ahs can vote for each other, right? Science. That's how this works. Yeah. This song isn't for me. I'm not going to say it's my least favorite of this year, but this isn't for me. This is very much not for me. Again, it's theater kid energy, but I see myself in this in the way that I was so earnest as a theater kid that I realized, oh dear God, I'm incredibly awkward. And, I 40-year-old me still kind of awkward.
When I think about that awkward theater kid energy, I think about Romania's last entry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I understand that was a mess. And a lot of that wasn't even his fault. Right.
True.
That like he was just kind of thrown to the wolves. And I mean, the song wasn't great either, but like you could kind of, I don't know, you could kind of see the charm in what he was doing and what he was going for. This, no.
And I feel like this has more adults behind it. Like one of the songwriters on this is from someplace in England. I think she's from Devon.
Oh God, my ancestors are from.
And for me, I'm just like, who's putting this together? And then saying, let's make this work. I think the first song in Eurovision that's just made me feel old. Like, I feel like there's something on like TikTok that I'm not getting.
God, I love when that happens.
Yeah.
You're just like, so this is here. Someone surely wants it here. But imagining those people is like, I might as well be imagining space aliens at this point. Like,
no, it's the children that are wrong.
It is the children who are wrong.
That's which is precisely how I felt about Espresso Macchiato. So who the hell? I don't know. Who knows? I don't understand anything, especially this.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
have we all spoken our piece? Have we all purged ourselves the poison cake? Have we taken our charcoal pills and our
iodine?
Ipecac or whatever we need to. We okay?
Did you pee on it? No, that's something else.
Oh God.
It's not a jellyfish bite.
Shoot, that's yeah. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Take a bite or of this jellyfish. Anyway,
that would I would prefer that because that would be such a great staging. You'd have like little jellyfishes throwing them into the audience. Like that would be phenomenal.
Like a SpongeBob staging.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
oh, dear.
All right. So we're gonna. So Sam.
Yeah.
We're gonna go around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Start with worst. I don't know how. How might this go? Who knows? Let's find out.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My least favorite is Croatia this week. Dude, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Marco. You seem like a nice guy, but your song is not great. Croatia.
Derek?
I'm going to go with Estonia again, just because I hate it so much. No, it's Croatia.
It's Croatia.
Sam said this wasn't her least favorite of the year. I will go ahead and say that for me, it is Croatia.
Yay.
All right, then let's end it on a high note, as we always like to. Dude, what was your favorite this week?
Germ. Yeah, Albania. Absolutely. 100% tops. Call me. I'll be in Basel. We can do brunch.
Invite me, too. Yeah. Okay. There's got to be some Albanian restaurants somewhere in Basel. I know there's a big Albanian contingent.
Maybe they want something Swiss. We'll go for fondue. Maybe they want to, like... Ooh. Yeah, exactly. Fondue. Me... Beatrice, Cole, and you.
Bring it. Derek, what was your favorite this week?
Oh, Albania, absolutely. It's not my absolute favorite song of the year, but it's the song I want to win.
Danny?
I'm going to say this might be the only week where there's not a song that I even like really love, but it's still Albania by a country mile.
Eric?
It's a sweep. Albania, a.k.a. Germany. This is... This is phenomenal, and I'm with Derek. I would say this is the one that I would be most excited about seeing get that trophy, and not just because Tirana is apparently very inexpensive.
Yeah, I'm gonna say yeah for many reasons. It's gonna be Sheeran for me as well. It's my favorite, possibly in the running for one of my favorite the last handful of years, actually.
Oh,
yeah. Well, actually, yeah, this versus Voyager's Promise is going to be that's a hard. I'm going to have to do like a multi-year Jer-Bear sorter.
That'd be fun. We should. Talk
I don't think
about
so, but
that.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's all a clean sweep both for tops and bottoms. Yeah.
Good
yeah
job,
let's
everyone.
let's arrange for that
our
fondue.
Target audience.
Yes.
That's it, Sam. You got to wrap there. You got it.
All right, y'all.
Not topping that. Ah! Or bottoming that. Ah!
And on noises. That note, everybody, you know how to reach us. Find us on social media, 12pointsUSA. Just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Dude, if folks want to get in touch with you or know more about your stuff, refresh their memories on how they can connect with you and see your what you put out there in the world.
Dudepoints.fun or dudepoix.fun, depending on whether you're in Europe or America. But that's the blog where we've got the analysis of and reviews and all the other stuff. And follow me on social media as well, Blue Sky.
Fabulous. And we will be seeing a lot of each other while we are in Basel. Cannot wait. It's going to be a fantastic week and a half or however long we're out there together. thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate you joining us. Let us know what you think. Again, email us, find us on socials. We'd love to hear from you. But until next time, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
He's been Eric.
I've been Eric.
Oh.
I've been Danny.
And Dude's been Dude.
Yeah, I've been Dude.
And America.
Stop listening now.
Right, I'll take us back in.
For Claude.
Here comes Claude! Here he comes!
All right.